All right, we're back again with another practical lesson that is drawn from some of the most arcane and even esoteric parts of the Torah. But as we discussed over the last couple of days, that's what we got. Hashem is talking to us, and he's talking to us through the prism of the laws of the paranormal discolorations or lesions, which are called tzaras. So today, the third day of the week of this doubleheader Torah portion, Tazria and Metzora, we move from a discussion of discoloration of people's skin to a discoloration of garments. Tzorat habegadim, the lesions that might appear on a person's garments. Chapter 13, verse 47, the Torah, without any fanfare, simply moves on to the next detail. V'habeged, and the garment, meaning these are the rules about the garment. Ki yevo nega tzorat, when there will be a lesion of tzorat upon it. And we hear that these rules only apply to tzemer o pishtim, to garments that are comprised of wool or of linen. And the Torah goes on to describe the details of the size, a Sicilian bean. We hear about the color, a pure green or a pure red, and the Kohen must be called. Well, after we call the Kohen, in verse 50, we hear, V'ra'a ha-Kohen es ha-Noga. The priest, the Kohen, then examines the lesion. He's got to confirm that it is, in fact, the required color and the size that is a concern. And then, once he, in fact, gives us confirmation, V'hizkir, a word we are all too familiar with these days. But now it's not a person. The garment is quarantined. And the garment is quarantined for Shivat Yamim, for 7 days. At the conclusion of the 7 days, V'ra'a et ha-nega, now he must examine the lesion. And the question, that's got to be answered is, has the lesion spread? Kifosa ha-nega? Is it in fact a spreading of the lesion of this discoloration on the garment? And if it is, well, we got trouble. The Torah calls it tzorat mam'eret, a piercing or pernicious, onerous form of tzorat. It's the owner's article belonging to a particular person, but no longer will this person be able to benefit. He will suffer inconvenience, in fact, monetary loss, because this garment is going to be burnt. As we read in verse 52, v'saraf et ha-beged. And the reason is, tzorat mam'eret. This is a pernicious and onerous form of tzorat that has taken root on the garment. Bo'esh tisoreif. It shall be burnt in fire. What happens if there's no spreading? Well, that's actually the next thing the Torah talks about. In verse 53, we hear that if the Kohen examines it, v'hine lo fasa, in fact the lesion has not spread, then the Kohen must order v'tziva ha-Kohen v'chibsu es asher bo hanoga, if it has remained exactly as it was. So we have no clear sign of a further development. We got a problem, but we don't know if it's one that requires full condemnation. Well, in that case, the Kohen instructs you to put the garment into quarantine for another 7 days. But first, before it is placed into quarantine, v'tzivo ha-Kohen v'chibso, the Kohen first gives the order that it be washed. And as Rashi explains to us, the entire article need not be washed, and the area containing the lesion and the adjoining part of the garment has to be laundered. Okay, now it's laundered, and then as we continue to move along towards the end of Parshas Tazria, the Kohen re-examines it. He does so acharei hukabes, after it was laundered, after it was washed. And then, And then, if he shall see that it remains exactly as is, if the lesion has turned a lighter or darker shade of red or green, he's got to rip it out. And what happens? What happens if the garment, if the lesion reappears on the garment? Well, in that case, if it reappears in its original form, be'esh tisaref, it must be burnt in fire. And here we have a fascinating concluding verse. I know what you're thinking. This is anything but fascinating, Rabbi. I'm hearing about garments that turn green and red. This doesn't talk to me. I got issues. I'm cooped up in a home with crying babies, and you're telling me about garments that turn red or green? I'm cut off from my friends and from my community, and I'm not living life normally. And we're supposed to be inspired by a story of garments that turn colors in antiquity. A miraculous, paranormal form of discoloration. How's that going to color my life with any brightness? How's that going to maybe uplift or inspire you or I today? Here's how it goes. When we get to verse 58, the Torah says, V'habeged, and this garment, asher techabes, the garment you had laundered, v'sor mehem hanoga, and after laundering it, the lesion disappears. The Torah comes along and says, V'chubas shenit, now launder it again. Why am I laundering it again? Well, I don't really know why I'm doing any of this per se. It says, launder it again. So the Ibn Ezra says, mitzvah lechapso pamayim. That's the mitzvah. You were supposed to launder it the first time. Why? Because that's what God said. That's what the Torah says. Now launder it again. Why? Because that's what the Torah says. But Rashi says, not so simple. The chubas shenis does not mean simply to launder it again, but rather, the secondary washing we speak of here is lashon tevila. It means immerse. In other words, we speak not about laundering the filth or dirt or trying to wash the color out, but instead we are speaking about a purification, a spiritual thing. In other words, the chabes, the tichabes that we read of earlier, and the one that opens this verse being referenced, the original laundering, was indeed real laundering. However, now I'm not laundering. Now I'm going to immerse and purify. And Rashi says, I can prove it to you. I can prove it to you from the Targum Unculus. You see, Unculus Hager, better known in other circles as Achilles, was a Roman linguist, a brilliant genius, a nephew of the Emperor Hadrian, the Caesar Hadrian. And he goes on to become a righteous convert. It's a long story in and of itself. It's actually an inspiring and uplifting story. But be that as it may, he was an expert at language. And he rendered the Torah into the spoken Aramaic of the day, some 2 millennia back. And his contribution is considered to be foundational. In fact, Rashi will lean on the Targum, the translation of Unculus, more so than any other when he wants to essentially comment or explain or elucidate the words of the Torah. So Rashi says, if you'll take a look at the Targum, whenever it says kibusin, beparshazu, whenever it says the word, and the Kohen orders, and it must be washed, so the terminology that's used in the Torah is kibus, washing, laundering. The terminology that's used now in verse 58 is kibus, laundering. Or so it sounds. However, Rashi says, if you look into the Targum, you will see that the terminology employed prior is one that indicates whitening. That's Torah terminology for laundering. As it says, v'yit chavar. V'yit chavar comes from the word chiver, which is Aramaic for white. So the white garment that became discolored with a pure red or pure green hue or discoloration is now going to be restored, bleached, brought back to its original white color. However, there is one time where Unculus doesn't say v'yit chavar, And that's here in verse 58. Instead, Onkelos says, the yitztaba. The yitztaba is Aramaic for immersion. And so from the fact that Onkelos rendered the same word one way originally, and now renders it or interprets or translates it differently, tells us essentially that there is a difference between the first laundering and the second laundering. It may be the same terminology in Hebrew, but it's not actually the same thing. In other words, words, even in the Torah, are not always what they appear to be. Sometimes there could be a different activity with the same word used. Now the Rebbe says that the real issue, the real challenge here, and the reason that Rashi has to bring Onkelos into the argument in order to convince you that the second laundering, well, isn't laundering at all, but rather immersion, is because it says v'chubat sheinit. Rishon is one, or Echad is one, and Sheni is two. So one and two indicates it's part of a process, or the same thing. So if it's the same thing, you wash it once, you wash it twice. Ibn Ezra, who focuses almost exclusively on language, says you wash it or launder it twice. Why do you launder it twice? I don't know. It's a mitzvah session. But Rashi says the Torah may use that terminology, but you need to look past the language, because sometimes the language being used may be part of a process. It may actually comprise the next segment in the intention, in the destination, in what you seek to achieve, but it's not one and the same. In other words, in the Rebbe's words essentially, the expression v'chubas sheinis does not seem to fit. Forget the fact that the Torah used the same word twice and means two different things. It says sheinit, it says a second time. Therefore, Rashi explains to you that the purification, the restoration, the rehabilitation of this garment is actually divided into two parts. You got to get rid of the color, for this you do laundering. But that color was problematic to begin with. It was so problematic, it had to be quarantined, not once, but twice. There's a tzarat element there. And because there was a tzarat element, because it had to be laundered a second time, for this reason, we can say the process is different, the goal is the same. The process is one of rehabilitation. Part one, laundering. Part two, immersion in a mikveh. My friends, I know this sounds so arcane and esoteric, but let's think about it. People are talking about social isolation. It sounds terrible. It means we have nothing to do with each other. It means that we are separated, cut off from one another, and are no longer engaging in any kind of relationships. It's a very bad idea. Where did it come from? Well, we have a problem. We have this terrible virus, which is highly infectious, which has been killing people. And the only way to proverbially flatten the curve or stop the hospitals from being overwhelmed is to ensure this virus doesn't keep passing from person to person. And the only way to do that, unfortunately, is by staying away from each other. Hence the term social isolation. But many have noted that we really aren't talking about social isolation. We're talking about physical separation. My friends, there's a reason. There's a purpose. This is not about separating us. This is not about us breaking off from one another. This is not about locking ourselves into some kind of isolation or quarantine so that we're not in communication. This is about making sure nobody gets sick. In order to make sure nobody gets sick, or perhaps expanding that, in order to make sure that none of us are harmed, in order to make sure that we all maintain a healthy balance and a normal perspective on life, you know what we really need? We need each other. Because we can only live in a healthy way if we have each other. So much like the laundering, which happens a second time, but doesn't mean laundering at all. It actually means immersion in a mikveh, but it's for a purpose. It has an intention. There's a destination. The destination, the goal, preservation of life. The preservation of life necessarily requires physical separation. The preservation of life, my friends, necessarily requires no social isolation. Let us be engaged. Let us be together. Somebody sent me an email today. He says, you know, or it was a WhatsApp message. He says, you keep talking about reaching out to others. I decided to call a couple of family members. That's exactly my point. This is a time where more than ever, we need to reach out and connect to others. We can uplift them, and in turn, we'll become uplifted too. Don't get fixated on the verbiage. This is not about isolation. It's about temporary separation. And the temporary separation and distancing is a physical thing. But on an emotional, intellectual, and spiritual level and playing field, we should all be engaged. We should all be together. We may be apart. You are not alone. Together, we shall get through this. And together, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be able to experience sunny days and good times in the future. Hopefully, the sunniest and best of days with the rise and the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you.